Opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the management of Louisville.am and Veritas New Media, a Louisville.am production. You are now listening to The Crunch Zone, broadcasting live from Papa John's Cardinals Stadium. And we're lying. This is Mike Lindsay, also known as Crumb's Revenge, and I'm sitting with
Mark Blankenbaker, also known as at U of L Sheriff 50.
And we've got a lot of things to talk about. Basketball season is done, but sports, as we know, is 364 days a year with the Louisville Cardinals. We've got baseball updates. We're going to talk about this spring game.
What's our one day off?
The one day off is so we can rest up for the coming up year.
Oh, okay.
For recharging the batteries, and we're going to have topic of the week. It's Montrezl Harrell. Should he stay or should he go? It's the Crunch Zone coming at you right now.
Topic of the week.
All right, Mark. Basketball's done. This week, we've got spring game football. Bobby Petrino, we went to the practice. What are some things? I was taking pictures. I saw some stuff, too. Let's start with you. What are some things that impress you for the football team?
Well, impress me, I mean, the pass rush. You know, I mean, obviously, I could say Devontae Parker, but the one thing that Charlie Strong had while he was here was the pass rush and the defensive front. Louisville's pass rush is still extremely talented, and they're getting off the ball, and it's a different group of faces, which is kind of interesting, but they're coming from a lot of different directions. And Bobby Petrino's offense actually had the guy sacked, but they allow the play to extend just so the offense can get some work. So that's impressive to me. Obviously, you know, Devontae Parker's amazing. And
well, on the pass rush, you mentioned some different faces. So what do you mean by that? Because, you know, obviously we had a four down line under Charlie, or what was it? No.
Well, they played a lot of different sets. So okay. They played a lot of 3-3-5, a lot of 3-4, a lot of 4-3, a lot of nickel. But
what are some of the new faces?
The new
then?
Faces, like a Sheldon Rankins. Okay. Uh-huh. Like a lot of people may not remember him, but he had a sack in the Sugar Bowl. Mm-hmm. And last year, he played most of the season hurt. And then he kind of came on in the last four games and really was outstanding. So guys like him. And then you got to remember, like BJ DeBose, he's never really been like a. He's always been kind of in the starting rotation.
Yep. Always steady.
But now he's starting to get to the quarterback a little bit more, and that's really, really exciting. Deontrez Mount, he's more of a linebacker in this set, but he will go up and put his hand down. And whenever we're talking outside linebacker and defensive end, almost all the time, those are interchangeable unless they're the big stud guys, like a Sheldon Rankins, who's going to play defensive end, like a B.J. DeBose, who will play defensive end almost exclusively. Everybody else will be back and forth and kind of like in almost like a hybrid role. So,
okay. Three down front. Who are some of the guys you were seeing playing in the three down front under Grantham-style defense?
Grantham, I mean, you know, the middle guys, D'Angelo Brown. He's amazing. And right now behind him is Dejon Richardson,
Johnny Richardson.
And he's playing at like 330 pounds. In my personal opinion, he probably needs to lose about 60, get to about 270, and play one of those outside roles. But right now, he's too big. They have to get him on the field because he's extremely talented. So he's going to play on the interior defensive line a lot. And those two guys together are really doing a great job. Now, we're missing people like Lorenzo Malden.
Right.
You know, he's going to be one of these.
Quite a few veterans, actually, that are not playing right now.
One of the new guys, Trevon Young, he's been cracking the rotation a lot out there in the spring. A lot, like moving from the third to the second and then now getting some first.
He's a guy we probably would have lost if it wasn't for him coming early.
Yeah, absolutely. I think so, too.
He was a little upset when because I even remember on Twitter or something him basically saying after he was in class, after he signed, after he's already booked for Louisville, like the guy told me he'd be here.
Yeah, and you know that's just the way it goes in college athletics. You know, I hate it for him because, you know, he committed to a person and he wanted to play for him, and now he's playing for a totally different system, totally different guy. But honestly, for a guy like him, he's going to come in. He's actually going to wear Marcus Smith's number.
Okay.
He looks a lot like Marcus Smith in body type, and he is going to play a lot of the same type of role. So people might not even, you know, he's not as talented as Marcus Smith yet. But he may be in the end. Yep. So I think, you know, he's going to play a lot. And I think that in Grantham's defense, this is the type of defense that really suits him well. Stacey Thomas, he's a freshman that came in. He looks good. Nick Dawson, he's playing a lot of middle linebacker and defensive end. I don't know where they're going to put him. I'm not sure exactly where he's going to end
up. He's a former U.S. Army All-American game commit. We have we actually had the footage of that with Keith Brown the day he did that. That was an amazing day for Louisville recruiting on that day. But yeah, it seems like he came in as a linebacker, then he was like defensive end. It's just like it's almost like he's a tweener at every spot. Yeah. It's like they can't find his home yet on defense.
And two guys that are kind of interesting are like Kyle Shortridge. You know, he's somebody who can really play that middle role. He can also step outside and play outside. But then also Finesse Middleton.
Yeah.
He's going to be one of those outside linebackers that can put his hand down and rush the passer. So there's just a lot of like things in like personnel groupings that can happen. And honestly, it could take us 2 years to really wrap our heads around what that front seven looks like. Because except for the nose guard position and except for your two middle linebackers, everything else really changes.
Well, we don't have 2 years. We have 6 months before the Florida State Seminoles national champions come back to avenge. That's right. Louisville holding the last win, avenge their loss in Papa John's.
Yeah, but before we get to Florida State, we got to play Miami, of course.
Who just lost their quarterback to an ACL tear.
Yep, now they're going to have to go with a redshirt freshman or a true freshman. They're going to have an open quarterback competition. They're not just going to be able to grandfather somebody in. They had a problem with quarterback.
So we're just hoping they don't Pat White-us, like when the starting quarterback at West Virginia got hurt.
And everybody, you know, not to go on to a season preview or anything, but Miami, we blew them out, but they're a totally different team with Duke Johnson. And they do lose Christian Watford, a tight end, but that's basically it in terms of like their underclassmen that were really good. They're returning their middle linebacker, who was outstanding, and lose a couple of their top wide receivers, but Philip Dorsett will return, and he's extremely good. So
we lost a couple guys we like, you know.
You know, like maybe Teddy Bridgewater.
Offensively,
you know, Preston Brown,
and defensively.
You know, Brandon Dunn, Calvin Pryor.
It's going to be an interesting year. So that's defense. So let's talk offense in practice, okay? Obviously, I'll go ahead and start since you ran with some defense. The easy one to say that everyone's already talking about is L.J. Scott.
Yeah.
This is a guy who very well could land in the 2D, but if not for Michael Dyer and Dominic Brown, already looking very, very good. So the running backs, to me, really stood out more, even more so than the wide receivers in spring practice to me, although I was taking a lot of pictures.
Yeah, and on offense, the biggest change that, like if you're a football junkie, that you're going to notice is that Jake Smith is not playing center. Tobias Hewley is playing center currently, and he is a walk-on. He's played his way into a scholarship role.
Was his experience prior at center?
And I think it was. And actually, last spring, he pushed hard, and last fall, he pushed hard. And Charlie Strong and that group, Sean Watson, they actually toyed with the idea of playing Tobiah at center and keeping Jake at guard. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if he was just not ready. So Bobby Petrino said that, you know, Tobiah being at center allowed them to be have a lot less mistakes. Mm-hmm. Get a lot more practice.
Focus on the plays.
And there's just something to watch out there. There's a fifth-year guy who just graduated from Alabama. He started the first 5 games for the Tide last year. He's graduated early. He's looking to transfer, and Louisville is one of his destinations. Keep an eye out for him. He's visited Michigan, and Louisville is coming up. And I have to say Tobiah may be on the bench, but right now the practice is happening with Tobiah in the middle.
Yeah. And Pedro Sibia, right? He's the one that they were trying in at the center?
No, they were trying
just offensive line in general.
They're trying Pedro at right guard and Jake still at center so that Jake could stay at center. But Pedro is just having he played defensive tackle last year, and he was a freshman last year. Yeah. And then also he's from Miami via St. Thomas. Okay, so he's an island kid, and he has a lot of ability. Mm. But you can't just take him, have him learn a new position, then plug him into an offensive line position.
Formations, the plays, I mean, everything is backwards.
So for them in practice, it was difficult for them to actually run clean offense with their right guard holding and having procedural errors.
Yeah.
And so Tobiah being at center doesn't necessarily mean that Jake won't be at center, come starting time,
yeah.
but just that they need to have a productive practice, and they can't right. do that with Pedro.
Well, they're learning a whole new system, right? Yeah. So we know as Cards fans that this system is exciting. We don't know if it'll be exciting in year one. We hope it is, but it might. What I like to just to set some expectations, folks, I'm sure we'll do it very well because Petrino demands perfection. But if the system was that easy to install, then it would be just as easy to defend, and it's not. So.
It's not, and it's going to be very complicated, and you know this might be frustrating, but it's going to be predicated on the run. And unlike, though, when Charlie Strong ran the ball and it frustrated everybody because it would be 2.5 yards or even sometimes for a loss, this running game isn't just to hold the ball and to, you know, create yeah. a time chasm and then
it's to
let
gash you.
It's to gash you. And it is to create holes, pull your guards, get them downhill, and Bobby Petrino is not going to accept his offensive line yeah. getting shoved back into the line of scrimmage yeah. like it happened for 3 years under Charlie Strong the last three seasons.
He likes leading the nation in offense. That's what he likes
yeah,
to
he
do.
Wants to be the best at everything, yeah. and he wants to keep his opponents off balance. They will not rely totally on Will Gardner's arm. They will not rely completely on the running game, but it will be based on the running game.
Yeah, and those running backs all running well like we saw, if that continues, that's going to be great in the fourth quarters next year because we're not even talking about Corvin Lamb and these other little bolts of lightning that can happen. Bad Rad, Mr. Radcliffe. I mean, when we were at practice, Michael Dyer, Dominic Brown, and L.J. Scott looked the part ready to go now. And L.J. Scott's 6'1". He's like 200-something, like 210.
He's 6 foot, 215.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's a big dude, and he can catch out of the backfield.
Yep.
So, not all the backs catch very well out of the backfield. This guy does.
Yeah. So, you got Dominic Brown, 6'2", 216. Michael Dyer, 5'9", 215.
Yeah.
He has a bowling ball. Yeah. And then you got L.J. Scott, 6 foot, 215.
Yeah.
And then you're going to throw a little Corvin Lamb at him, a little Bad Rad. Bad Rad, 216. He's one of the top squats on the team, like fourth out of everybody, linemen, everybody.
Yeah. So you're going to have a tough time taking him
so down. So think about his thighs.
Yeah.
So the running backs are
actually,
good.
Let's stop.
Yeah, no, I'm going to think about his thighs.
I don't think we should think about anyone's
thighs. That's a little weird.
Or college guys,
whatever.
For that matter.
But seriously, and then, you know, Jarrell McGriff Culver, he's a guy who can go out there, catch some balls out of the flat. He's worked hard. He's had a really nice career here at the University of Louisville. So you can't even discount him in the passing game, especially passing downs. He can go out there and make some plays. So.
All right, now let's go to the wide receivers. Will Gardner, by the way, we won't talk much about quarterbacks. It looks like we do need to continue to develop a backup quarterback. Doesn't look like we're super solid there yet. And whatever, we'll get to that point. It's early.
I don't know if we'll be solid at the backup quarterback this year. Kyle Bolin, he doesn't have the frame yet. He really, honestly, he's got a lot of ability. He throws a nice ball. He's on time and everything like that. But getting to the outside of the field, getting beyond the hashes, downfield, throwing those 30-yard out routes, not there.
Yeah.
Brett Nelson has come along a long way from when I first saw him. But, again, it's Will Gardner, and then we're going to have to look at Reggie Bonifin, and I'd love to keep the red shirt on him.
Yeah.
But, you know, we'll see what happens.
We'll see what happens. But as far as the wide receivers, we saw some nifty plays by Devontae Parker. Saw a couple, you know, in the open space. Saw James Quick on a play or two, really fancy stuff, and definitely a couple of balls that they tried to have him run long for. Doesn't look like he's quite extending out on the dive and catch. It almost looks like he's still waiting for it to come to him a little bit, where we know Copeland was so excellent about catching the ball
just
as far
out
as his arms could stretch.
Right.
And that's, I guess, something all receivers need to work on.
And Matt Milton has looked great without pads. When the pads have gone on in scrimmage, the production's kind of dipped a little bit, but you know, Michael Lee Harris is not out there. He's out there in uniform, but he's mm-hmm. not actually pursuing contact drills. Eli Rogers looks great.
Yeah, he does. He's made a lot of good catches in the practice, including in traffic, including getting leveled.
And you got Kai De La Cruz. He's out there. He looks like maybe he might need still some recovery process because I don't see the same speed from him as we saw last fall. But he's got time to recover coming off that injury. James Quick, he looks good. I like him. And you know what you're getting out of Devontae Parker. One of the guys that's kind of out there new is George Clements. Super fast guy. He's starting to mix in. I think he's still a second third group guy, but he's kind of coming on, and I would keep my eyes out for him for sure. And then, of course, Cameron Polk, he's the true freshman out there, enrolled early like LJ Scott. He's just fitting in. I mean, he's in a really solid group right now, and this is an opportunity for him to go in, learn, play against some of these top cornerbacks that Louisville has on defense, and you know, and just learn, because he's going to redshirt. I mean, but he does look good. He's got great size.
Spring game is Friday, 7 o'clock or 7:30?
I believe it's 7:30, but I would get out there early because it's starting at 4 o'clock. They're going to have a lot of fan events.
Oh, yeah.
Especially for
we
kids.
We were stripped of the fan event last year. Charlie Strong wouldn't let anyone get Teddy's autograph.
Yep. And so they're going to be able to jump on the inflatables. There'll be autograph sessions. Yeah. It'll be a big day. $2 beers. So we'll have hyperinflation, double in price beers this year. It's a huge $2 price, but it's still cheaper.
No jumping price for me. I don't really drink beer.
Still cheaper to drink beer than it is to drink water.
Yeah.
Out at Papa John's Garden.
When they go $2 bourbons, I'll be happy with
that. Yeah,
that
would be messy.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm excited about it. You know, the defense looks good. The offense looks good. I wish that the spring game was played against the FCS opponent. And I wish that they got rid of the FCS opponent in the middle of the regular season and instead just played the FCS. Like, play East. Like, how much more fun would it be if Louisville played Eastern on Friday night? That would be better.
Yeah.
You know, Eastern gets something out of it. Louisville could play Kyle Bolin in this game.
Yeah.
And he could get some really good work. If he makes mistakes, who cares?
Is it ones versus twos?
And
or is it ones versus ones, twos versus twos?
When Bobby Petrino was here last, he did a lot of different things. He played ones versus ones for a period, ones versus twos for a period, and then he did like a menagerie of things in the second half. But I don't know how it's going to go.
Yeah, because I can see the benefit of all of it, right? You know, you got your ones versus ones, so just maximum practice. You got ones versus twos because you want the twos to get a difficult practice to help bring them up.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I can see it. The benefit in all directions. So
at practice this year, he's put the ones on the ones. He's put the twos on the ones. He's mixed it up. He's had threes on twos, twos on threes. He's had guys with the bottom unit playing with the guys at the top unit.
And quite frankly, our depth isn't, except for new people. Like, they're just like right from high school. Our depth's pretty good, probably pretty challenging all around.
It is. For spring practice, it's always a problem because your veterans that dealt with injuries that maybe you know are going to be ready, you don't play them in spring. And Louisville's doing that with a lot of guys. Jermaine Reeve has broken his foot, so you don't want to have anybody else out. Okay, and then on top of that, you've lost all your seniors. The freshmen aren't in, and you got a lot of guys that you're healing, like Terrence Ross. He could probably go. But why risk it?
Now, Jermaine Reed broke his foot running across the interstate. His foot got hit by a semi.
Yeah, semi truck, really sad. You know, the Mack truck actually aimed for him. No, I don't know how he broke it.
Come on. Did his friends break it?
Or did
he break it in gameplay?
He broke it in practice.
All right, that's good.
Yeah, and at least that's the hope, is that it's broken. Last time I heard.
What do you mean, it's missing? I mean, what else could it be?
Well, they hope that it wasn't.
It's either healthy, broken, or missing.
They don't know if it was ligament damage as well as broken.
Oh,
so,
come on.
I know. We don't know.
We need to talk to the semi driver.
I need to talk to his orthopedic surgeon and find out what the extent of the damage is to the foot that the semi did.
I don't even think I knew Jermaine Reeve broke his foot. Now, are we seeing Chucky Williams out there? That's one of the big names we talked about in a previous podcast. Super talented. He's friends with super talented XB Aladocious. He is friends with a current teammate.
Chucky,
yeah. Oh. Champagnette High School or whatever.
Oh, with Richard Benjamin.
There you go, Richard Benjamin. So that's another new name. And I'm sorry, I didn't even notice him on the field because I was taking too many pictures.
Yeah.
Is he playing offense or defense right now?
Both of those guys are playing defense.
Okay.
Richard Benjamin's playing more
phenomenal corner. Players, folks.
Yeah, and Richard's wearing 20 on defense.
Okay.
Chucky's wearing 22.
Wagner.
But I don't know, honestly, because Chucky could end up he could end up starting. I mean, Gerard Holloman.
And
Jermaine
Reeve. Gerard Holloman's another U.S. Army All-American.
And then you also have Terrence Ross, who I think can definitely come in and steal a strong safety position.
They were talking about him starting last year, potentially.
Exactly.
And then I don't know if it was an ACL or what, but he was out for the year.
He tore his ACL in fall camp, and it was really sad because he was going to play, actually, in on special teams quite a bit. And you got Kevin Houchins and Kamal Hogan who are filling in a role. And, you know, you'd love to see something out of those guys because, you know, they've been in the program for a while. But, you know, right now, you know, you got Chucky, you got Richard. Richard's playing more corner. Chucky's definitely back there in the safety position. But in my opinion, when they open up fall camp, it'll be Gerard Holloman and Jermaine Reeve, if not Terrence Ross in replacement of Holloman.
But the point is, folks, when you come out to the spring game, just know that there's so many new names that you're not used to, but they're very talented kids. Communication might have to be shored up over the coming months. I'm sure we're not going to have, you know, we had a pretty experienced team last year, so things were clicking on all cylinders, and that's something that they're just going to have to get better at as the year progresses, and certainly is better as fast as possible with the national champions coming in. But just get used to learning the new numbers, the new names. We got a lot of them. They can play football, and this is the position that Charlie recruited us to. So although he's left for Texas, he has left the talent very high for us to play with. And Bobby Petrino, I can't think of a coach in America who can probably take advantage more of that talent than the coach who left.
Absolutely. There's a lot of players. We didn't even get to talk about them all, but we have all off season to do that. So.
All right, well, that'll do it for football. We'll see you at the spring game. $2 beers, 7:30. Mark and I will be there. We'll be taking pictures.
Get out there earlier than that, people.
That's right. Yeah. We'll find you in the stands if you got some crazy outfit or you want to just, you know, we'll take pictures of you punching your friend, whatever you got. Now, we do have some interviews from spring practice, so ahead of the spring game, let's cut to Bobby Petrino.
First of all, what was important is that we had a good week, and I thought we did. I thought we improved and got better throughout the week on offense and defense, special teams, you know. I was happy with the way our special teams improved. As far as the way the scrimmage goes today, you know, I've kind of been waiting for a couple weeks now to see the big plays pop out, you know, the big runs after catch, the running backs break tackles and go. And they did, and I think some of that is a credit to the offensive line to start finishing blocks, receivers blocking downfield when the running backs are running, being more accurate with our passes so you can get runs after the catch. So I thought we took some strides forward offensively on our ability to make big plays. And then defensively, we've shown we can really rush the passer. We're good at that. Sometimes there are sacks out there that we continue to let the play go on so other guys get work. So you don't just blow it up and the secondary and linebackers don't get any work. So there's probably a few plays out there that maybe would have been sacks. And then, but defensively, one of the things I wasn't happy with was giving up the long third down conversions. We had the offense behind the sticks a number of times, you know, third and 15, third and 14, and converted those third downs. So we can't do that defensively. We got to be able to get off the field on third down. But overall, I was happy with it.
You mentioned opportunities for multiple guys.
Yeah, I mean, it's great to see those guys making plays. And, you know, I think our secondary has been providing tight coverage. But today we were a little more accurate with the passes. We were a little crisper with our routes. And we're able to break some tackles. You know, that's one of the things we haven't done very well until today. But then I was happy with the long runs. You know, as much as the passing game and making big plays there, it's really nice to get big chunk plays out of the running game. And, you know, the long touchdown down the sideline by D. Brown was a great run and a very well-blocked play by the offensive line and the secondary. I mean, the receivers on the secondary. So it's fun to see those big chunk plays running the ball.
Bobby, what did you think about Dyer today?
He showed that he's getting better. You know, I think in the last week I've seen his quickness coming back and his vision getting a little better. He's still rusty. He's still missing some cuts back there, but I thought he got better today.
And how about Brown on that big long run? Showed some speed.
He did, but I thought he ran the ball really well. Not only the long run for a touchdown, but he made a great run on a third and two where we didn't block anybody, got us 4 yards. Sometimes those 4 and 5 yard runs are great runs, and I was really happy with the way he ran the ball. He ran getting his pads lower, starting exploding through tackles, and that's how you end up getting big plays is you explode through the tackle. And he showed some speed there on the sideline. I didn't know he had that speed.
Bobby, it seems like in a week that Will, is it more comfortable? Do you feel like he's getting more comfortable? Because it seems not only more accurate, but just maybe more relaxed back there.
Yeah, he was better today. You know, he still has some issues with getting his vision down on the pass rush, which every quarterback does in their career at some point. So we got to be able to focus down the field more. Our timing's a little bit better. You know, everything was a little crisper today with our routes and our drops, and we're not where we need to be, not even close. But
what do you want to accomplish this week and heading into Friday night?
I just want to come out and get better on Tuesday and Wednesday, and really not even think about Friday. We got to think about Tuesday's practice, do a great job in our technique period, get better in our blitz and blitz pickup and running the ball. So it's really, I want to see the players focus on that one practice.
And you ended there with Wallace with a nice little run of nice field goals there at the end.
Yeah, that's good work for him. You know, he's done a nice job. We've been getting a lot of field goal work. We got to shore up our protection a little bit. We had some seams in there, but the timing between the snap, hold, and kick has gotten better, and he's been very accurate.
With Coach Grant,
you like what you're seeing?
I do. Yeah, I do. I think they're very tough. They know football. That's the thing that I'm impressed is they know football. They know blocking schemes. They know how to take on the blocks, and they both run and play extremely hard. You know, you can't take that away. They really, really play hard.
Probably no coaches ever. Heading into the final week with it all being so new, are you pretty pleased with where you're at?
No, not at all. I'm that guy you said. I'm not even – no. I mean, we've made strides, and we keep getting better, but we got a long way to go.
I didn't see Brandon Radcliffe or Jermaine Brooks. Hey, can you update their status?
We actually have a policy that we don't talk about people that don't practice, so okay. We can update that later on.
All right, that's enough from Bobby Petrino. Let's go to the running back superstar in today's practice, Dominique Brown.
You had a couple other nice runs, a couple touchdown runs right there in the red zone.
Yeah, that's what Coach said pretty much. He called it up at the end of the scrimmage and said we should go run the ball. And I think that drive, we pretty much ran it like 8 times back to back, just running power plays and stuff like that, just trying to get physical and just come downhill.
Talk a little bit about the improvement that you've seen from the guys in front of you.
Oh, they improved a lot. Especially like when moving Jake back to guard. I think he played guard our freshman year. So he's just getting back in the rhythm and stuff like that. We tweaked some stuff up front. But, you know, they're learning. You know, just trying to get the feel for each other.
Do you feel like you guys are getting better as an offense?
Yes, we are. Especially in the running back room. I think we had a good day. Myself, Mike, and LJ pretty much ran hard, behind our pads. That's what our coach dive on. Pretty much just go start with us. The physicality, so we just got to come out and be physical.
What's your impression of the guys behind you? I mean, you've got a couple guys trying to continue to get healthy, as well as a pretty impressive freshman.
Yes, I mean, that's good. We can't get complacent. Got to come out and work every day. You can't really take a playoff because they're not going to take a playoff. So it's good to have competition like that in the room, just making each other better, making our room better.
You had some big-time backs, former backs over there, Vic Anderson, Blau Pau. What's it like performing in front of those guys?
Oh, it's good. Vic come out and Blau come out. They watch film, get the guys and stuff like that together. LJ, pretty much we meet, go over stuff. He sees stuff that we can't see pretty much from an NFL guy's perspective. Just give us some insight, stuff like that. So it's good having guys like that just coming back.
So I'm excited about all the running backs had one big run at one point or two and looked very comfortable out there. Do you think that's more of a defensive breakdowns on the defensive part, or is that just getting more comfortable with the offensive scheme?
I think we're getting more comfortable, but we got a long ways to go. I mean, the O-line and stuff like that, getting comfortable. We've been missing some cuts like that, but I think it's pretty much the offense now. You go see big play after big play, and everybody do their job. The offensive line do their job. The receiver do their job. Quarterback do their job. Get us in the right play. And we pretty much just trust the scheme and just go from there.
All right, so that's it for football. Now we're going to move to baseball. All right, baseball, this is, you know, we always say we celebrate all the sports here at the University of Louisville.
We do.
And with that comes a very talented, do you have the rankings? I've got some of them here.
Well, I know that the National College Baseball Writers Association
poll.
That's
a mouthful.
Which I don't know if this is the main poll that they use or whatever, right. But it's the main one that the NCAA uses, and they have them, Louisville, down from 8th all the way to 10th
yes.
in the country. So they're the 10th rated baseball team in America after losing one of three to Memphis over this past weekend. Yeah. And it was a rough game because they just could not get their offense going. You and I were at that game.
I was the bad luck guy. That was the first game I attended this year.
Yeah. And
pictures there, you know, you can see them out on my Instagram that when Mark and I go, we try to get as much film and photo as we can.
Something about teams from Tennessee and me. I've never seen Louisville beat Vanderbilt in person, and now it's Memphis. So Maybe I'll just skip all these Tennessee
The next
schools.
Game we didn't go to, though, they were down like 5-1 or something.
A miracle comeback.
Miracle
finish.
Comeback, and we're not there.
I know, but there's a lot of baseball games, and you know, we try to get to as many as we can. But this team is really kind of neat to see because they're young. They have some really young arms. They have some different things that they're doing offensively. And I think, personally, I mean, they're winning a lot of games. Like right now,
They're playing a live game. We won't give you too many updates just because it won't make any sense by the time you hear the podcast.
But they're
playing Purdue, and they're in a tight
game. They're like 23-8 or 24-9 or something like that. And anyway, I think they're still searching for their identity. So it's kind of a neat little thing to watch, and they're still rated as one of the top teams in the country. So can this – and the AAC, as we know, it has some really good baseball programs like Houston and SMU that are Southern – base.
Yep. The AAC, I think Dan was saying, was probably tougher than the Big East.
It is, and it's because it has more of those type of
which
programs.
Which is rare for some of the programs, but in baseball it's not the case. It's a tougher.
Yeah. So, you know, if they'll be well prepared, even maybe more prepared to if in the NCAA tournament than they were last year when they went to Omaha. So I'm excited about it. I'm definitely going to get behind these boys and you know, we'll see what they can do.
And it's a lot of fun. And I went out there to the arena, the field.
Stadium.
Yeah, Jim Patterson. It was awesome. The day was nice. It's so intimate. Look, you're right on the players. They play music before every batter. I mean, they have the show down. I mean, it is where you need, if you got kids, it's where you need to take your kids for a fun, cheap day of exciting college sports from a top-ranked program right in the heart of Louisville. So,
yeah, and a lot of these are, you know, free. Free games. You just go in. It's the concessions that you're paying for, and they're not outrageous. You can get a beer, you know, which you can't do at most college baseball stadiums, and it's a really good environment. So I'd greatly encourage people to go out.
I'll be back again, especially with a lot of these sports now over, done with for the season. Gonski, it's just so great that we can move to another top 10 ranked program to enjoy.
Yeah.
Tom Jurich has built an empire.
And the next time that you'll get to see the Cards will be April 15th. They'll be playing Kentucky.
Oh, that's a big one.
It will be at Jim Patterson Stadium. That will be a ticketed event just to – so that they can manage the crowd. They can't just open up the gates and let everybody in. So if you want tickets, you can get on gocards.com or call the ticket office and they can provide you with them. I don't think that they're very expensive.
What's the game time for the 15th, you said?
It's the 15th. It's got to be like a 7 o'clock or something.
Yeah, that's a Tuesday night, folks.
Yeah.
And this is a team we hate.
So file your taxes.
Yes.
And go to the game.
I filed my taxes on January 31st. You know this.
I'm filing my taxes on Monday.
So, big game against Kentucky. Kentucky already beat Louisville this year.
Yeah, one other game. Louisville hit a two-run home run, jacked. It's like a 2-0 lead, and then Kentucky beat them 8-2, I think.
So this is a revenge game that we're talking about, and nobody likes revenge more than Crum's revenge.
Nobody likes revenge more.
So I will definitely try to do everything I can to get there. And it's going to be hopefully a big win for the Cards because while they are top 10, they were ranked higher. They've dropped a few here and there. But overall, as you know, with the 23-8 record indicating, they get it done more often than they don't. So I don't know anything. Baseball is something that I'm learning more because of how good Dan McDonald and his team does. I've never followed U of L baseball at all, and Dan McDonald draws me in because he's such a great coach. He's such a great person. He's interesting. He's smart about baseball. You learn when you listen to him. And the guys out there are having a lot of fun. So, I mean, it's an easy, easy game to enjoy.
Coach McDonald's, his brand of baseball is a lot of fun. You get on base, you run. He likes to steal. He likes to hit and run. One of the things that he likes to toy with the batter when he goes and changes pitchers, like he'll let the batter get all the way into the box, dig in, he'll call timeout, come out, and then he'll make a visit, he'll go out and talk, and then he'll go back in, he'll let the batter dig in again, and then he'll go out there and change pitchers. So it's really actually hilarious sometimes to watch. So it's just a little mind game, things like that that are fun. And
I'm a big fan of mind games.
These guys are this is a good group to get behind, so get out there and watch them.
All right, so folks, the next big game to check out, because they are on the road a little bit, is that April 15th game. Probably 7, we're thinking, but check it on GoCards.com website. Louisville versus Kentucky, the revenge game. Get there. Now we're going to move to topic of the week. All right, Mark, it's decision time. Unfortunately, Montrez may have announced, but the decision is, should he stay or should he go?
Well, we don't know when he's going to announce, and we're recording this on Tuesday night. We're going to release it on Wednesday.
It could come out on Wednesday.
And our whole thing could just be shot.
But that's okay, because sometimes I think it's fun to listen to how did that conversation stack up to what happened.
Right.
And so we're going to have the conversation anyway, folks.
So, you know, there's some important dates that you just have to know. You know, the NCAA has mandated that there's like April 15th is a deadline or something around there. But the NBA's
somewhere around
deadline,
the UK UofL baseball game.
The NBA's deadline is the 27th of April for them to get into their draft. And so Montrez technically has all the way until the 27th.
The NCAA date is a waste.
And right now,
it's a complete waste. Unless you just know you're going, you just go ahead and announce.
Right. Last week, Chad Ford had Montrezl Harrell at 11th.
Okay.
This week, he has him as 16.
Where does lottery end?
And the lottery is the top 13 teams, I believe.
No, it's a little bit more than that.
Is it? Well, I don't know.
In other words, he's flirting with falling out of lottery. Like, yeah. He was lottery last week. Now he's flirting with falling out of the lottery. There's still names that haven't announced.
Well, bottom line, okay, he's starting to find his way. And NBA Draft Express has him at 20.
Okay.
So I think he's really going to be living in this 15 to 25 range.
Yeah.
Okay. Which is really good.
Yeah.
Okay. But he
better
has,
than I can do.
He has, yeah, absolutely. He has until the 27th to declare. He can declare and not sign an agent, go through the combines, go through all this, the measurements and the drills and the camps and all those things that they do, and then pull his name out by the 16th of June, which I would encourage him to do,
mm-hmm.
because he has an opportunity to move up and he has an opportunity to move down. But more importantly than that, he has an opportunity to see where he stacks up, sees where he needs to work on his game, and go through the process entirely so that if he decides to go back in
mm-hmm.
for next year, he'll be more prepared for the process
right.
altogether.
He'll have his hit list of what to work on.
So that's what I would do if I were Montrezl Harrell. I would declare without an agent and go through the process. And if he finds himself in a situation where he's skyrocketing because these teams love his hands and because he can catch the ball like crazy,
yeah.
and they love his leaping ability, and he's yeah.
7'4" wingspan,
yeah,
and he dunks on your mother and everything.
You know, but what are the things that he needs to work on? We know he needs to work on his jump shot.
Yeah.
He needs to work on his all on the ball defense.
I'm going to throw in free throws.
Free throws, for sure. But, you know,
blocking. In his height, you know, it's like it's not a given, right? He's dunking on everyone in college because of the wingspan. But when he goes to the pros, he's going to play guys that aren't just 2 inches taller than him. They could be 5 inches taller
right.
than him and maybe quicker than him. So, you know, he's going to probably not execute as many dunks. He's going to find himself fouled on those dunks going to the free throw line. So the free throws are kind of a big deal for him.
Well, in the NBA, the lane is wider and the arc is wider. The three-point line is extended, and guys are asked to cover a lot more ground in the NBA. So while these guys are bigger, Montrez actually has more space to operate, which is good for him. So I actually think the NBA game suits him way better than the college game does in terms of his ability and his skill set.
Mm-hmm.
If he decides that he wants to leave, right now the rookie scale for the 2014 draft has a number 16 pick. Let's say he gets 16. At earning $1.4 million in year one. It's a total of contract value for 3 years of $4.1 million with a fourth option. The third option is almost always picked up because no team's going to just draft a player and invest $2.5 million in him and mm-hmm. let him walk away in the third year and have somebody else pick him up and him be awesome. So the third year is almost entirely picked up, but they're obligated to the player for 2 years.
Okay.
For sure. The third year's picked up. The fourth year is always a question. If the player is a franchise player.
That's your second contract, right?
Yes. Yeah, so if you get to the third year and they haven't signed you, your fourth option, then you better have a great third year. or right. you're going to be out there basically like looking for a team.
Yeah, you'll be doing like tryouts.
And
Patino touched on this. You know, he was talking about if Montrez is lottery, then the like it's not just that the money's better, it's just the teams are worse.
Right.
So the worse teams are going to play you more. So you get to kind of iron out your game against the pros. You might even struggle your first year, but the second year and the third year, you improve, you hone your skill, and then second contract you land.
Sure.
What Patino was talking about worrying about is that if you fall in the 20s, now you're picking a team that already has good players, and then you may not get to play much. So while, yes, you have a pretty good year one, year two contract, probably will survive year three contract, did you get enough gameplay? Did you impress enough people? Are you going to survive that second contract? And right. you may or may not.
Absolutely. And, you know, the other problem with the second part of the draft is that when you get down into, like, picks 22 and 30, is that a lot of these teams are so well put together, their salary caps are tight, and they don't want to draft a rookie that they know that they have to sign. So a lot of these teams will pick these kids out of Brazil or Europe or Asia where they know that they can't get out of their club team, okay? And so they don't have to sign them for a year. So there's a lot of kids like that, and mm-hmm. they draft them a lot in the last part of the first round because they never have to sign them.
Saves them money on the books.
And they don't have to save any money on accounting. So you don't want to be Montrezl Harrell, be the 22nd best player in the draft, have the 22nd and everybody below team not interested in signing a player in the first round, and then drafting over you for a lesser player mm-hmm. because they just don't want you. That and now yeah. you're a second round player with a non-guaranteed contract, and I don't think Montrez will go that low, mm-hmm. but it's a risk. On the other side of that, if he were to play his way up into a top 10 pick, where because next year's draft is a lot weaker,
right?
Projected now, he could play himself into like the 7th pick, for example,
right.
from 16 to 7, it's 9 spots, okay. But it's a difference of $4.1 million in a 3-year contract.
Which I make every week.
Which is double. On top of that, like you say, you're playing for a lesser team.
Getting okay? plenty of minutes. Owning your skills.
You'd be able to do that. They pick up your 4th year. The only downside of that is that you lose a year of earning opportunity. That's the only downside. But if you can guarantee that you'll get your 4th year picked up, then that is almost worth the guarantee that you lost, you know, that it almost is better than losing the year that you could have had. Because really getting that 4th year of your rookie deal is a big deal because it pretty much guarantees that you'll get that second contract that everybody talks about. Because everybody's going to get the 3rd year. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't get that 4th year. In yeah. fact, most people don't.
Yeah.
The percentage of players who go to the NBA and get a rookie deal and then you never hear from him again is extremely high.
Right now, number one pick in last year's draft, Anthony Bennett's on that way.
Yeah, right now.
Like 3 points a game.
But see, the good thing for Anthony Bennett is that he is the number one pick, and these teams are going to be patient with him.
Yeah.
And so he's going to have an opportunity to go and practice, figure out what is going on.
Yeah.
And he better hit that summer circuit so hard it's not even funny.
What do you think Montrez should do?
I think Montrezl Harrell needs to declare for the draft. I think he needs to not sign with an agent, and I think he needs to go all the way up until that 6-16 deadline, figure out. And it'll give him time to figure out who's declared, number one. It's not like the NFL. You'll get to go up against these guys, stack up against them. If they eat your lunch in the workouts, no big deal.
Nobody eats Montrez's lunch.
Nobody will. Yeah. But there may be things that he needs to polish. Like other guys, like the guy from Arizona, like, you know, they like his jumper and –
there's a ton of talent.
There's a ton of talent in this group. So he's going to go out there, and he needs to be able to play at a top 15 level, or he needs to come back for another year. And that's what I would tell him to do that, because he's not a guy who isn't going to play in the NBA. He's going to play in the NBA. So why not try to play into the top half of the draft, really? I don't believe he has financial strain on his family. So that's not something that's...
Montrez?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think they're...
He's dating Patrick Ewing's daughter. Okay.
Yeah. Well, I know, but his parents, I think they're...
I know.
From a real poor rural area in North Carolina.
I don't know that. I don't get that sense, actually. But I don't know that personally. So I can't comment on that. But to be, but if you don't have a financial strain in your family, which I don't know that he does, and you know that you're going to play in the NBA, you get an insurance policy. You go through these workouts,
just like,
you figure out
like
what
Purvis
you need.
Ellison, just like Teddy Bridgewater,
and then you come back for your senior year or for your junior year, and you blow it out of the water against the top talent in the ACC. You establish yourself as a Naismith candidate, and then you go into the draft and you become a top 10 pick, and you make double the amount of money that you would have in during your career. And I think it makes more financial sense to do that if you have confidence that you will become a top 10 pick in the 2015 draft. But if he doesn't think that he can make that improvement, and he doesn't, and or if he is already playing better than that, if he's already going to be able to play into the top 10 in these workouts, well, then that's what he should do. But for me, I wouldn't sign with an agent.
Now, Montrez, to me, I compare it to T-Will's junior year. T-Will could have come out, was going to be first round, probably not lottery, but maybe kind of in the 20s, and he just recognized the draft for what it was. And he said, the quote, there's sharks in the water. I'm going to come out next year with the minnows. He recognized the next year had a little bit less talent, which is the exact case now as Montrez is facing. And he came out lottery. Now, he's a big bust and a disappointment, but that was his own damn fault.
Yeah, that was his problem.
Because he's kind of a little self-absorbed. But, but you know, that's just, you know, we can't do anything about that.
The one thing I know about Trez is that he just is an incredible worker. Like, he is in the gym. He's like a hungry for it. And, you know, you just can't replace that type of appetite, you know, anywhere. So, like, I just think he's like sky's the limit. And if I was advising him, I'd say, look, I know these zeros look great on paper because you're young and you want to go out there and get paid. But the bottom line is that when you're 40 years old, how much money do you have in the bank? That's the goal, not how much money you have when you're 20. And it's hard to say, tell that to a kid, because I've been there, not with that many zeros, but with the you know, the mentality to earn as much as you can, as fast as you can, instead of, you know, investing. It's hard to say that to a kid, especially as talented as he is and how much money's on the table for him now. But I just think you stay a year, you double that salary, you double that earning impact. And I think it makes more sense than anything in the world. But, you know, maybe he goes in and he can earn all that right away today. So I don't know. But that's what I would do.
Well, he's a very intimidating player, and I'm real excited for him either way because, I mean, you know, you heard Pitino say in the press conference, if he comes back, Akoya Gao might commit suicide. He said Gao is a very good player and that Montrez intimidated him daily. And this doesn't this extends past Corey Gall. I mean, you could even see it in the national championship game, Kentucky and UConn. It's like, well, why is UConn? They out-rebounded Kentucky. Why are they having this success? Because they're not really scared of any of these guys. I mean, Montrez Harrell dunks it. He, like, rips your hearts out. He throws it to the student section so they can tear it apart. He's screaming. He's beating his chest. Yeah. He's ripping floor pieces off the ground. And then he's running back smiling while he's chewing on his mouthpiece. I mean,
absolutely.
He scares the living hell out of everybody when he plays on the court. They just know. And he said his freshman year, right before they went to the NCAA tournament, he was being interviewed for his excellent game against Syracuse. And he said, what would you say to future opponents of Louisville? And he said, you just need to know that we're going to come at you as a team and we're going to outwork you. And it's not just one guy and we're all going to do it. And we're going to work harder every game.
Yeah.
And that's exactly the attitude he brought. He was not heading for this kind of year until Shane went out. And then the minutes were, you know, he knew that he had to deliver. And damn if he didn't deliver, game in and game out. So I think that absolutely Harrell could go pro now. The pros will love him.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
I think that is worth, you know, following everything, which is sound, solid advice of just going through the process and seeing, can I do even better next year? And then weigh it. Yeah. Then make your decision. Don't make your decision now. Understand the big picture. Then make your decision. And either way, Cards fans are going to support him because,
absolutely,
man, he's brought us so much joy. I mean, that dunk record of 62, I think it was.
Yeah.
It was tied once by Shane, but it lasted since 1986. He beat it by 50%. He went to 97. Well, we may never see a guy like this again. I hope he comes back because it would be a lot of fun, but I can only, for what he brought to Louisville, wish him the best, period.
Absolutely. And I love his game. He's been a pleasure to watch, and I would love to have him back in a Cardinal uniform, but me suggesting that he should maybe think about returning and not signing with an agent is really based on more of his personal interest than it is anything, because I want him to have a long pro career. I want him to be able to go and tear it up and retire at 35 with a lot of money in the bank and make sure that he ends up in the right place. He has a great option. Do I go and get drafted in the bottom half of the first round, or do I go and try to get played in the top 10 the next year?
And maybe he's made this decision by the time you heard this, so hopefully we didn't waste too much of your time talking about it. But, folks, thank you very much for joining us on this week's edition of the CrunchZone.com's production of the Crunch Zone podcast. Don't forget, you can check us out on the website, CrunchZone.com. Check us out on Louisville.am, our partner, or you can set us up for immediate download on iTunes. Just search The Crunch Zone. You'll find us there. Don't forget, we've got April 15th, Louisville versus Kentucky baseball. This Friday, we've got spring game with Bobby Petrino. Mark, you have anything left to say?
Go Cards.
Forever. I promise to rep the field.